If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark, it's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, second book in the New Testament, chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses, verses 30 to 34, then we'll skip down a little bit. Mark 6, 30 to 34. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Jump down to verse 53. It says there that when Jesus and his disciples had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, anchored the boat, and came ashore. People immediately recognized Jesus and ran around that whole region bringing sick people on their mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, villages, cities, or farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplaces and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. Everyone who touched him was healed. I read that passage, especially those latter few verses, and I immediately think of the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Obvious connection, right? Actually, it's one of my favorite lines of hymnody. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. You ever wondered about that song when you sang it, Christmas? What in the world does that mean? You look in the Old Testament, there's a passage of Scripture in one of the minor prophets that says that the Son of Righteousness, the Messiah, will come with healing in his wings. And it doesn't mean that he's a bird. What it means is the old Jewish rabbis used to wear prayer shawls, and ministers today, if you come to the early liturgical service, you'll see the pastors who are officiating the service wearing what we call a stole. I'm not going to wear it throughout this service, but it's a mark of being ordained, and there are tassels on the bottom, or as the Hebrew sometimes translates them, wings. There were people in the New Testament who had such faith that they believed just by touching the hem of his robe, they could be healed. That Jesus was the Messiah, and there was healing in his wings. I sometimes wonder if I have that kind of faith. To believe that this man is who he says he is. To believe that Jesus is the one who, by my simple act of reaching out, can draw power, can find healing, can find rest for my soul. I think we all need that from time to time. Now, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, you know that I have not. We've been traveling quite a bit, my family and I. We've been on personal time away and also on time for the church, I guess you'd say, at General Conference, which just ended. We got back last night after driving some 3,500 miles over the last several days. It's been a lot of time in a car, and I'm glad we're home. Actually started 15 days ago on the 4th of July, which as we were coming back into town last night, we kind of commented, seems like eons ago. 4th of July, if you're with us, you know that we always have a large gathering out in our parking lot as part of Central. And to be honest, this is one of the days that I most look forward to and also most dread. I can't wait for the 4th to come because it is perhaps the event in the life of Central where everyone connected with Central participates. Over the last several years, we have had women who are a part of our ministry to those in the adult entertainment industry. They've come. We have people who are part of our Cocaine Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and different recovery groups who will come. We have representatives from all the different congregations that are affiliated with us, be it the Nepali Fellowship or Calvary Haitian or the Burmese church that meets at Cedarway, or our sisters and brothers from down the street, and some of our Hmong that come in the afternoon. They show up and they join with us. Different ethnicities, different cultures, different beliefs. As we have non-Christians who are part of our midweek ESL who will come, and we get to be the church as I believe God wants us to be. Welcoming all, coming together to simply be together and love. It's great. And it is incredibly exhausting. Some of you are part of that. Some of you know all the work that goes into preparing the food and setting up the tables and cleaning up the trash and inflating the bouncy houses and organizing the kids and putting tattoos on and maybe cutting the little icy pops so they can eat. You know how much work goes into transporting people back and forth and making sure that everything is cleaned up so that we can have church the next day. You know how late the night gets when we wait for the fireworks to end just down at the city park, and then you drag home and you're tired only to hear your neighbors shooting off fireworks till like 3 a.m. because they seem to think that they have a right to do that, just, you know, hypothetically. It's a long night, tiring and rewarding. Oh, and we look forward to getting done and resting. For me and my family, that next morning, that Sunday morning 2 weeks ago now, we left early and drove to Southern Illinois as we went to celebrate my mom and my dad and their 50th wedding anniversary. I went to the church that I grew up in, the Alton Free Methodist Church, and I officiated a vow renewal service for them as we stood in the front of their sanctuary with my brother and my sister standing there with mom and dad and led this service, which was wonderful and weird. To be honest, it's strange to stand in front of your parents and ask them to recommit to vows, and even stranger still when you tell them to kiss, and that just creeps you out because you have to watch your parents kiss in front of you. And my brother and my sister are kind of creeped out, and it was great. It was great. We had a wonderful time seeing cousins, seeing my sister, her husband, her kids, my brother, his wife, his kids, family from nearby down in Greenville, Illinois, people in the church that I had grown up in, that I went and served at for a few years, dear friends that we've known for a long time. A wonderful gathering just to celebrate mom and dad and 50 years of marriage. The kind of thing that many of you have celebrated, the kind of thing that many of you should be celebrated for. Your constancy and your faithfulness in an era where it is too easy to say, I'm just not going to do this anymore because I don't feel it, to stay committed, God bless you for the years that you've had. And even if you haven't been blessed with many, my Uncle Bob was a denominational executive, and until his last marriage, his third one, he'd never been married 25 years. His previous two wives both died suddenly. Sometimes our marriages don't last the 50-plus years for various reasons. But however long you are in your relationship, God bless you for showing what it means to love and be faithful. So we were down in Southern Illinois, and after that Sunday night service, we went to my parents' house and spent time with some cousins, talking, laughing, telling stories. And two Mondays back, we drove to Branson, Missouri, and spent 4 days down in Branson as a family. I don't know if you paid a lot of attention to the news or were watching the weather or even noticed, but 2 weeks ago down in Branson, there was significant flooding. It rained a lot. A car dealership was washed away. That's the kind of amount of rain that we have. The whole dealership flooding. We had planned ahead of time we were going to spend a day at Silver Dollar City. Some of you have heard of Silver Dollar City. Maybe some of you have been to Silver Dollar City, but the roads were washed out. You couldn't get there. We had talked ahead of time that we'll have a big family putt-putt tournament. We're a little competitive. I come by it honestly. You might have noticed that once or twice. We ran out of this huge putt-putt tournament, but it rained. And so all these outdoor activities, all these things that we had planned, all these great adventures that we had figured we would do had to be put aside. And so we stayed inside our rooms and we would gather together. We would talk. We would wrestle with my little 5 and 2-year-old nephews. We would watch TV. We would eat. We would find other ways to just rest in each other's presence. After we left Branson 2 Thursdays ago, Mindy and Levi and I got in the car and we started making our way to Southern Florida for General Conference. It was in Orlando. I didn't realize how far Southern Missouri was from mid-Florida until we started planning out the drive. And so we drove our 9.5 hours through Missouri and through several southern states, Mississippi, into northern Alabama, where we spent the night with some friends of mine and Mindy's, a husband and wife who are both pastors. They each have their own United Methodist Church, which is not uncommon for married pastoral couples. We had been involved in their lives for years. They had both been at our wedding. I had officiated their wedding, and they've been good friends since then. She, the woman, had done an internship with me in my last church. We had a good time staying with them, reminiscing, getting caught up on some of the things they're doing. The husband, Todd, in his spare time likes to tinker with electronics and programming. In fact, he had recently developed a program where let's say that Walmart was having a super sale on Barbie dolls. You could go to his program and type in the amount of money that you could buy that Barbie doll for at Walmart and see how much you could sell it for on eBay. He'll tell you immediately what percentage increase you can get for anything that you can find on any sale. They've done all kinds of coding. They hired a Russian to write the code, he said, for a relatively cheap amount of money. He's had this up for just a couple of months, and already the number of subscriptions that he and his buddy have had bring in more money than he was making as a pastor of the church. This is what he does for fun while he rests. Found that interesting, how rest can provide. I found it interesting driving through the states how many people continue to proudly display Confederate flags. And they hold on to a history that is rich and that is also rich with bigotry and violence. I find it interesting how we talk to persons who have different feelings on different things, and some see this power of the symbol and others don't, and when they see it, they see something altogether different. I find it interesting how politicians can celebrate this act being done, how many of our people in Washington, D.C. can rise up and praise South Carolina, and yet we still can go celebrate a football team called Redskins and don't realize that we're still talking the same thing, and we have a hard time learning how to listen to people who are different. We have a hard time learning how to love people, frankly, who are different. The ones who are oppressed under that flag and the ones who fly it proudly. How do we love them both? We finally get to General Conference, and before it started, we decided that we were going to have some time and do some fun things. It's Florida, it's Orlando, there's one or two things to do down there. And so we talk about it, and we decide we're going to have a putt-putt fiesta. I don't know where putt-putt became the key to what we were doing this weekend, but we had a great time. Two Saturdays ago, we went, and if you're in Orlando, I would highly recommend Pirate's Cove putt-putt course. It was phenomenally great. And huge. I mean, you would wander up hills. It was as tall as this church. I would think all the hills you would climb, a couple pirate ships, you'd walk the plank. There was waterfalls. There were deep hills. We had three hole-in-ones during our 18 holes. Mindy did not get one of them. I did not get one of them. Levi had one. Bennett had one, and then he got a second one when his ball missed the hole and hit Levi's club and went back in. And we had a great time. Just resting together, walking around, chasing the little lizards that are all over Florida, the snails that are just big as quarters and half dollars walking all over the place, and no mosquitoes, even though it's 98 degrees and hot. We left that and we went after playing the first round of putt-putt, and we ate at this marvelous Venezuelan restaurant. If you want food, I can give you some ideas, but this place down in Florida was phenomenal. I'd go back again in a second. And then we played another round of putt-putt at a place called the, I think it was Congo River. They had live alligators around the course. Bennett got to watch them feed the alligators at one point. That was fun. It was taller, but it was also hotter in the middle of the afternoon, and we decided when we were done with that, we were just done. And we needed to go back to the resort and swim and rest. You ever been there? These past couple of weeks, 4th of July, exhausting. Spending time with my family, exhausting. It was probably more exhausting for my wife since it was my family. Exhausting. Traveling and driving, exhausting, and you just need to rest. Because we have General Conference starting. General Conference is the time when Free Methodists from around the United States and the world gather together every 4 years and we talk about things. We elect bishops. All three of the persons who were serving as bishop were reelected. And so you can continue to pray for Bishop Thomas and Bishop Roller and Bishop Kendall, who has been our area bishop and I expect will be our area bishop again. Pray for them. We would meet this year in particular and we discuss different strategies for the church. Couple in particular. One was called Embrace All. Pastor Joanna was a part of that and presented it Charles Choi from our church was a part of that as well. Joanna, in fact, wrote this book that was given to everyone on Embrace All. A marvelous little devotional that you can read through. 50 days, rather, of devotions on how we embrace all people. How do we talk to those people who are different than us? How do we get along and recognize that we are sisters and brothers, even if they fly a different flag than I do, or speak differently than I do, or smell a lot differently than I do? How do we get along with people who have different worldviews than we do, who vote differently than we do, who had a very different opinion on the SCOTUS ruling a couple weeks ago? How do we embrace all people and let them be a part of us? And how do we do it without looking at others and calling them things like those people or people like that? You might notice I'm wearing a little pin today. I don't know if you can see it. It's not a really big pin. Some of you may recognize what's on it. Others of you may have no idea, but I'm going to guess you can guess the language that it's written in. Anyone have an idea if you can see it? Arabic, absolutely. This is a sign that ISIS uses often. How do we pray for people who have different views than we do? How do we embrace those who will not embrace us? And when I say that ISIS uses it, I should point out this is the Arabic equivalency of the letter N, which stands for Nazarene. So ISIS uses it when they paint it on the door of a Christian's home, letting other ISIS people know you can kill the people who live here. How do we embrace those who are persecuted and rejected now, who are beaten just as much as we need to pray that God would help us to embrace those who are doing the beating? How do we learn to love people who are different than us? My guess is none of us worry about people coming into our house because someone painted a symbol on our door. Our biggest struggle may be, how do I love the person who just smells because they haven't bathed in a few days? How do we embrace others? Let me suggest that we follow Jesus' counsel as given through St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. There's a passage there where Paul writes, "But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He made both Jew and Gentile into one group under Christ." I don't see why we couldn't believe that he would make both American and Arab one in Christ. He made both Christian and Muslim one in Christ. He made both straight and gay one in Christ. With his body, Paul goes on, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one person out of the two groups and make peace. Do we believe that can happen still? He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, Jesus announced the good news of peace. To you who are far away from God, far away from what we would do on a Sunday morning, far away from what we want our kids to do, far away from the way that we were taught to live, far, far, far away, he reconciled those, and he reconciled those who were near. We both have access to God the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now, Paul says, you're no longer strangers and aliens. Look around, church. This is your sister and your brother who's beside you. You are no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens of God's people. You belong to God's household. How do we embrace all and see all as part of our household? Another one of the strategies that we had down there was called Disciple Deeply. I was one of the ones in charge of that. And you'll hear us talk about this quite a bit in the days and weeks and months going forward. This idea that we have a threefold emphasis when it comes to our discipleship. A threefold emphasis that often has become disintegrated in the church. We have a relationship with God, and that's often all we think about when we think of discipleship. You need to fill in the blanks in your workbook. You need to memorize more scripture. You need to read God's word. And those things are true, but my discipleship is a lot more than what I know about Jesus. I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Jesus says there's more than that, doesn't he? He also says you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your neighbor, as Jesus interprets it, is someone who is not like you. Your neighbor is someone who lives on the other side of that fence. Your neighbor is not necessarily somebody you chose to move in next door. Your neighbor is someone who may not share your values. They certainly don't sleep under your roof. They're your neighbor. They're not your family. And yet you are told, I am told, we are told to love my neighbor as I love myself. That's kind of a high calling, isn't it? And a challenge, because the reality is some of us don't do a good job of loving ourselves. I need to reach out. I need to go. I need to serve. The out-focus, missiology. Love God, love the world. There is a third command, though. A new command is what Jesus called it in John. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Do you know who one another is? Look around. These are the people in your household. These are the people you worship with. And as high as that calling is to love the world, this one seems even higher. Because we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus says you're supposed to love one another. How? As God loves you. So when you think of other people who sit in the pews with you, do you love them like God loves them? Are you willing to lay down your life for the other? Are you willing, coming not to be served, but to serve the other? Is church a place where you get to use your gifts and graces to serve another? Or is it a place where you come to soak and to be fed? I hope those things happen, but I hope you also are looking out for the one another's and loving as God in Christ has loved us. Up, out, in our theology, our missiology, our ecclesiology. How do we grow in all these areas and how do we find overlap? How do I help the person who comes on Wednesday nights to an ESL program and who does not confess Jesus Christ become a part of us and will say that I am their pastor even though Jesus is not their Lord? I think that's beautiful. It's a part of helping them be grafted into a place where they can come to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. How do we help people who on a Sunday morning aren't just not here today because they're all over at family camp, but may not be here today because they say, hey, I get up, I listen to Joel Osteen, that's enough, isn't it? I get my religion in. Just my relationship with God, but I'm not listening to the body of believers who will hold me accountable and help me grow and will weep with me when I weep and rejoice with me when I rejoice. How do I help us move beyond me and Jesus to me and Jesus and you and my community of those who are lost that I want to introduce to this Savior that I love so much? All three working together. How do we do that? I think we do it through unhurried time. We rest. We have these plans and what we want to do, and sometimes it rains and roads to Silver Dollar City are washed away and you have to adjust and you end up just sitting together. And it's still a sweet place to be. We rest. Sometimes we have all these agendas that we come back from conferences with, and we have all these plans and things we want to implement, and we realize, I'm tired, and I just need to rest. Ever been there? Sometimes we realize that there are great things yet to do, but unless I go to bed and get some sleep, unless I sit down and get something to eat, I'm not going to have strength for it. And in the spiritual realm as well, there can be things that we can see that God wants us to do, people he wants us to reach, things that he wants us to touch. But unless we rest in who God is, unless we feed our souls on the Word of God, we won't have strength to do it. We need to rest. I know this is true, that we need to rest. I know it's true because our bodies tell us it is true. My body does yours? Anybody push, and then you just get sick and have to stop? Yeah, that's not healthy. We need a support group for that, I think. But our bodies will tell us that. Slow down. Rest. Beyond that, I know it's true because my Savior tells me it's true. We just read it in Mark 6. Jesus tells the apostles who return, tell him everything that they've done, all this ministry they've been doing, all the people coming, all the people going, and yet they have no time to eat, Scripture says. So Jesus says, come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. May I suggest that one of the most spiritual things any of us can do this week and any time when we need it is simply to rest. The offices are going to be closed the next few days, as Pastor Steve said. Some of us are going to camp. I'm going to a retreat center where I probably will say less this entire week than I have so far this morning in this sermon. We all need to rest. Our Lord commanded it. And it's good for the soul. Because one thing I'm sure of is whatever we do, there's always a consequence. How many of you know what kudzu is? The plant. Some of you do. Driving down to the south, our family saw a lot of it. Big green, and it covers things, and it looks really cool from the side of the road, like you have shaped, shrubberies and different things everywhere. This is a plant that was brought over from Japan many, many years ago to help deal with soil erosion. Farmers could plant it. It would grow as a ground covering and keep the soil from eroding away. The problem was they didn't realize how fast it grows. 150,000 acres a year it takes over. And it will kill all the indigenous plants because it simply covers them. And there's no sunlight that can get through. It is taking over our south. You cannot drive on any major interstate without seeing it everywhere. It was a good idea. Bring some soil covering over from Japan. They just forgot to bring the beetle over that ate the plant that kept it from taking over Japan. Oh, yeah, we didn't think about that. It's a good idea to have a passion to want to go and save the lost, to embrace all, to disciple deeply, to want to develop leaders, to multiply ministries, to honor fruitfulness, to do all these things we talked about at General Conference. It's a great idea for you to want to share the gospel with your neighbor across the street, to have a meal with a person that you've been waiting to do it, and you just haven't had the courage to invite them over. It's a great idea to study God's word and to learn more about him. It's also a good idea to stop and to consider the consequences of, do you need to rest first? Do you need to pray? Or do you just need to go because you've been waiting too long and the time is now? If you need to rest, then let me say very clearly, God wants you to rest. So sit and be still and know that he's God. Rest. Come by yourselves to a secluded place. Just rest a while. Pray and sense how much God loves you and is with you and will use you. But feed upon him. Read his word. Do his will. It starts by resting. As we prepare to go, may you find that place where you can go apart by yourself and get the nourishment you need. May you find the people who will speak into you the words of truth you need to hear, words of caution, words of inspiration, the person who will pull you back and sit you down and say, go take a nap, and the people who will kick you in the rear and say, get off your tail already. It's time to be about God's business. May you find the place to rest, and may you find that sweet, sweet place of service when you know that you are God's and God is yours. There's nothing better in the world. You know, we sang that this morning, didn't we? Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. May this indeed be our story. May that be our song as we all praise our Savior. All the day, all the week, all the month, all the year long. Let's stand together and we'll pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you for times set apart where we can relax, and for summertime and vacations and the opportunities that many of us have to go see family or friends maybe we haven't seen in years. The opportunity to go away someplace to a vacation where we can just be with those we love the most and do the things that we long to do and never get a chance to do. To just eat more than we should, spend more money than we should, and laugh more than we ought to do on a daily basis. Just, we don't do it enough. Help us, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to laugh as much as we can. But we thank you for also those times of rest, those periods of realizing when we get back from vacation, that's when we think we need a vacation the most, because we're just tired. Those times at work where we're exhausted and we need to recharge. Those times at church where we need to be sensitive to those who labor for us, Lord, and need a Sabbath. May we learn the spiritual discipline of rest and listen to our Lord and come apart and just rest a while. Visit us with your Spirit and comfort us with your peace, Lord, and shape us into your image that we may be strengthened for the work ahead, the exciting, wonderful, awesome work ahead. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who with the Father and the Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. So go, knowing that God goes with you. Go, knowing that the Son has saved you. Go, trusting the Spirit to lead you. And be at peace. Grace and peace to you all. get some rest. Amen.